Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
It was expected, but special night for the WNBA. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Caitlin Clark goes number one to Indiana. And Perloff, there's a lot of things we want to take away from this draft last night, which I thought moved really quickly. You know, it was only 12 teams, so it moves fast. You didn't have a lot of confusing trades. Like, I like the presentation, the broadcast. They did a fantastic job, and that's what it is, a TV product. But, you know, I thought this when I saw Caitlin and doing some of her interviews after, she seemed more relaxed maybe than she has in a while. I wonder if there is a little bit of, not that the pressure's off because now she's just being tasked with like raising an entire professional league, but I wonder if she's feeling a little like, I bet the unique pressure of what she was dealing with in college to be the only player really at Iowa who anyone, you know, no offense to the rest of the team, but like, no, they were all there only to see Caitlin.
Sure.
And while that may happen a bit, at least there's a little bit more stardom in the WNBA. She'll be the hot ticket. She said it last night, but maybe she doesn't feel like she has to carry such a large amount of the load now that she's playing and going to play amongst other pros.
Wow. That's interesting because first of all, I always thought Caitlin Clark had an incredible ability to not feel pressure in big moments.
She says that.
She's got, she's got a little Tom Brady, Eli Manning, like the fourth quarter doesn't bother me kind of thing. But the other thing, too, is I think they're still the same. She is going to be doing the same thing to the WNBA that she did to women's college basketball. The ratings are going to go up like crazy.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying in theory, but I still feel from the outside that there's a lot of pressure on her to be good immediately.
Oh.
If she's not good, that's going to look really bad.
Oh, no. And I don't know how many of the casual fans are going to stay if she struggles.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about her specifically. When they asked her, what are your new team getting or whatever? What do you want to, what's going to be your first, you know, imprint on the WNBA, she's like, I want to smile more and have fun. No chance Caitlin Clark was saying that at Iowa. Not, I think she probably had to feel, even if she didn't play, like the weight of the world's on her shoulders. She's carrying a program at that point and women's basketball, you know, and just sort of like, here's the thing. The expectations in the first year for her, is it going to be to win a title? No, right? There's a reason why the Fever have the number one overall pick, even if she gets to play amongst other good players. I think it's different. Just making the playoffs, I think, would be an achievement. Or her having a good season would be an achievement. When she's at Iowa, it was about Final Four is a given. And championship game and championship was really where her sights were set. This is a little bit more of a moving target in terms of how the season goes. She
Really? Do you really think that she thought she was going to be able to get through with that Iowa team? I mean, they weren't really close in either.
It was a back-to-back title game.
They weren't really that close in either of those games. And they were definitely outgunned.
No, but Final Four was the minimum.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
a very difficult thing to get to.
Well, I think 2 years ago, they were a bit of, not that they were a Cinderella, but they had a little bit of a upset. Because they beat South Carolina. That was a David beat Goliath situation. Sure. So I'm not sure it's that much different. I'm not sure the dynamic changes here. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised if she doesn't score 20 points a game.
Yep.
Which gets us to an issue from last night. She came out, and consistent with her attitude, she said, I want to be known for my passing as a rookie. I think there's going to be expectation, like, you got to do the Caitlin Clark thing. You got to shoot 40-foot shots.
Yeah.
So will she have the same style of play? She's not going to have the green light she did at Iowa. So what are we getting out of Caitlin? Or will she have the green light? Like, what style of play is she going to be allowed to do? And what should she do? Because I got to be, as a fan, I want to see her be Steph Curry. I want to see her get over half court and fire up a shot. And I was getting the sense last night, oh, I'm going to try and integrate with the team. And I'm not sure that's going to work perfectly.
Well, we'll see. It was, I believe what you put on social media was like, yeah, right. It's how you
well,
put it. She's going to be passing. Yeah, right.
Well, she's an amazing passer.
She's got
like Larry Bird, LeBron James vision. I'm totally down with that. But she's also the greatest scorer the sport has ever seen. Like, she cannot get out. What's her mentality? I want to see her go out there and be a gunner, not a passer.
Right.
Because she's a great outside shooter. It'd be really interesting. Honestly, I think she's going to score 20 points a game. And I think that is really, but I, you know.
She's basically been warned by Diana Taurasi and others is going to be, the reality is coming for Caitlin Clark. So
I want to see her get a high volume of shots up. So even if they don't win, she scores. That's what I want to see as a fan. Now, I really think this is all like really important to her. Like, well, who am I going to be? Am I going to be a team player? Am I going to sort of let my game, am I going to sort of put my game on the back burner so I can be part of the Indiana Fever? Or is she going to be the star?
This is what we're talking about. Caitlin Clark going number one in the WNBA draft last night to the Fever is maybe a bit of an identity crisis. We don't know. And that's going to depend on coaching, too, with Tamika Catchings, who's her coach. But what are they going to do? LeBron went through this early on. Remember, it was like passing in the big moments. And, you know, when he went to the Heat, then it's Dwayne Wade has to tell him, hey, this is actually your team. It's not my team. I mean, to think there's going to be no growing pains here, you're saying she's going to score 20 points a game. I don't know if it's going to be that smooth of a transition because she might have these questions about who am I as a basketball player when I'm playing with all these other incredible stars.
Right, and also, what is the other team going to do when I walk out of the court? Are they going to be targeting me? I think that's a real thing, too.
This is why, again, I thought last night she felt it seemed like a little sigh of relief. And I know that's not how we've been talking about her with the going to the WNBA, that it's been all about she's got the pressure now to carry this league and the season tickets are up and it's going to be a hot ticket to watch the Indiana Fever. I think she is feeling a little relief. Like, finally, I got Aaliyah Boston here. I don't have to do everything on my own.
I don't know. I'm not sure any basketball. First of all, people like to do everything on their own. Like, get on a pickup team, you might want lesser players around you so you can take 20 shots. I have trouble believing that she's going to transition into this different player where she's looking around and be like, oh, okay, I'm happy that someone else is shooting. But she's a scorer. It's so deep in her mentality.
But does she want to be a winner?
Yes, she does. But I think in... She reminds me a little bit of Steph Curry. Like, can you imagine Steph Curry if he was playing traditional point guard and just not taking those gigantically long shots? She's got to come out there and do the Caitlin Clark thing. I'm sorry.
I think that's what the fans want for sure. Yeah, EJ.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about rookies, the last rookie in the WNBA to average 20 points was Asia Wilson, who's, of course, the best player in WNBA right now. That was in 2018. Rookies typically don't come in and average 20 points. It's just not a thing. And it's especially more difficult for guards. Guards come into a league that is filled with a lot of really talented women, and it's not that easy to just come in and just jack up a bunch of shots. So she's coming to the team with some other scorers, Kelsey Mitchell, of course, Aaliyah Boston. I wonder if she looks at this team and say, hey, this team maybe doesn't need me to average 20 points or shoot 40-foot
bombs. But Pearl's asking, you know, can she play a different way? Do we get the magic if she... You know, and what people are there to see.
Right.
You know, because that's a big part of this also.
Also, if they're not really a legit contender yet, maybe it's, you know, we've seen this in the NBA too, where guys come and you get a high volume of shots for the rookie star. Like, I mean, listen, Wemby didn't win anything this year and he still had a great year. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, let's do a Wemby thing.
Yeah, they were the worst team in the league. Expectations, quote unquote, and they are not even sniffing the playoffs.
They won like 16 games. They were terrible. I don't know their actual number, but they were terrible this year. So I think you can be on a bad team and, you know, she could score 20 points, EJ, if she just takes enough shots. Like, but, let her right. fire it up there.
I know. I just think if she's going to a locker room, and I don't know if it's going to be a Pistol Pete deal, if it's going to be a problem when he went to the Atlanta Hawks and him taking a bunch of shots and the players didn't like it in his locker room, and that's why they got his ass out of there. Like, I wonder, can you come into a locker room with other grown men and women, other good players on your team? They lost a lot of games. They got a lot of scorers on the team. Say, hey, you guys get out the way. I'm taking 25 shots a game. It's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah, but it's on the coaching, too, to manage everybody's expectations and to say, like, this is the way we're going to win or this is the way we're doing it, and either you like it or you're going to leave, because Caitlin's the one who's got the leverage now. She's got the power. She's the most powerful person in that team, no doubt. And this happens on the men's side, too. And another thing, we're talking about the WNBA last night. The draft was held. To really create equality here, I think, amongst the men's and women's team, men's and women's sports, rather, I've got to mention this. Caitlin Clark will continue the long tradition of regrettable fashion choices at the draft. She will. And not because she didn't look great last night. It's because she went so trendy with the outfits. These women looked amazing. I mean, they were all dressed like to the nines. But she went so trendy with the outfit, Perloff. There's no shot that that's going to hold up. I'm not saying she doesn't look good now. I'm saying in 10 years and 20 years, how we look back on Carmelo Anthony's bad suit and LeBron James's bad suit and, like, was it Drew Gooden with, like, the oversized stuff? When you go for the trend, it's not going to age well. And Caitlin Clark delivered on that, too, because her outfit was so trendy.
I genuinely disagree with this. I think that her outfit was kind of classy. Relatively. So what? She shows some midriff. My 12-year-old and 13-year-old daughter are basically half naked all the time. No. I mean, everybody shows midriff. I thought it's not that wild. It's not a big red sparkly suit.
Well, honestly,
do you see Angel Reese's outfit?
It was pretty amazing, too.
Yeah.
It had a hood.
It was a sparkly Jedi outfit.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Honestly,
also not going to age well.
I thought, Kate, we should maybe craft a tweet on this. I thought Caitlin was a bit conservative because it was kind of cool because it looked like it from one angle when I saw her do her first interview.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she's not even wearing anything nice because it was a white shirt and then you couldn't see. And then she had to reveal it so you could see there was a sparkly
midriff.
Tube tip.
It's Prada. I'm not saying that it wasn't nice or that it didn't look nice. What I'm saying is it upholds the tradition of being so on trend that there's no way in 10 years or 20 years we're going to look back and say that it's going to look dated, because that's the thing about fashion. It keeps moving all the time so that they can keep selling us different clothes and keep this billion-dollar industry alive. So there's just no chance everything's going to be trendy in 10 years or 20 years. That's the nature of fashion.
But I think that she did not go super trendy. I thought she went a little conservative.
A midriff in a short skirt you thought was conservative.
It wasn't that short. Was that? That was not
short.
A short skirt. Walk around New York in the nice weather today. That is not a short skirt. I didn't think the skirt was even notable.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but I didn't think her outfit was so bizarre.
No, she's dressing like your teenage daughters now, because your teenage daughters are also dressing on trend. They're not going to dress like this in 10 years. It's going to be a different fashion. They'll be in a different cycle.
Yeah, I don't see it as radical as a guy, you know, like guys in the 1990s would wear. It looked like a suit out of Guys and Dolls.
It was so big, a gangster suit.
I don't even know what the heck they were wearing.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's going to look the same.
Hope we're on the air long enough.
Yeah.
I do not think anybody's going to come after that outfit.
This is the equality that we can also talk about the women's suits and the women's outfits, not their suits.
I hear you, but I just think you're wrong about this outfit. I don't think it's that radical. I don't think it's Akeem wearing a red bow tie. I think
she's wearing a button-down shirt over a crop top. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
And a short skirt. This is not exactly a three-piece suit. You know, this is not business casual, which it shouldn't be, by the way. That's not the critique. The critique is that it's so trendy that it's going to look dated, just like LeBron James' suit looks dated, and just like Carmelo Anthony and all those guys.
She looks like a star today.
Yeah, today.
she looks awesome. I agree with Maggie. I think
Even at the time for all those great draft outfits, we knew they were ridiculous at the time. First of all, they weren't even trendy. Like, there was no... I'm looking at some of the old outfits. Like, guys are wearing crazy stuff.
And this is going to be in the same vein.
No, these weren't even fashionable. They're just like, what is this dude wearing?
I'm telling you,
they were. Oh, those big suits, that, you know, that commercial with Carmelo and Kendrick Perkins. Yeah. Like, those suits were definitely the thing. You had to wear baggy suits,
yeah.
Big neck tie, the tie with the big knot. Like, that was definitely trendy.
And you know what? The big suit actually came back around in an even cartoonishly bigger way, but it still looks totally... totally off trend. Pete, what did you think?
I thought she looks fine. I don't know what we're complaining about. You're
critiquing the outfit?
No.
She looked great. That's not the critique. It's that suit so trendy, it's not going to age well.
Not to me.
All right.
But, you know, I'm the last guy you ask on fashion. I'm wearing an Islander sweatshirt. So, I mean... I think they all looked tremendous. I thought it was a great showing for the WNBA. I thought it was a great night and a night they can build on, and the fashion helped it.
Yeah, no, the fashion always helps the draft. Like, that's a big part of the NBA draft and now the WNBA draft. And listen, they all were decked out. I also thought another storyline that we should watch out for is Angel Reese and Camila Cardoza, two players who battled each other in the SEC and even going back to high school, Perloff, SEC and LSU respectively, now teaming up to play with each other in Chicago. That is a really cool story, and that's going to be a hell of a front court. But that's a really cool story with players who were, I mean, scrapping with each other, really had some bad blood, now team up is a cool storyline.
Gotcha. You know what I'm curious about? I've never watched a WNBA draft, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
That the mock draft was 100% accurate.
Well, it's only 12 teams.
Yeah, so that is... Well, yeah, but why... was it, how come there was no drama last night?
The, you know, they didn't have the confusing trades where, like, someone comes up and they're in a Hornets hat and then 20 minutes later they get traded to the Nuggets or whatever. And so all the trades were done beforehand. So it moved really fast.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
it was easy to follow.
It takes away from the event if it's so predictable, though. I think one of the great things why you watch a draft is you don't know what's going to happen. So last night felt like a coronation more than hey, what's going to happen?
Sure.
I would like to see a similar draft where we didn't know. That'd be great. If I, you know, because listen, the NFL is the king of making the draft into a TV product.
Definitely.
It's crazy that they've been able to do this. So that's the only thing that was lacking was the drama last night. Like, everyone in the building knew exactly where everybody was going. It was still kind of fun. I was into it, but I wish there was a little more excitement. Also, too, there was that sense, like, the pick would happen. Everyone's like, oh, this is exactly what we knew would happen.
Well, that's what's going to happen, at least at the very top for the NFL draft. We all know Caleb Williams is going number one. After that, it's maybe a little more of a question mark. But we know
talking
who
about
the top
one.
Pick is.
We're not talking about, we know what number one is. Yeah, that's a lot different than knowing what the top 10 picks are going to be.
855-212-4227.
I just feel like, I think the fashion made up for the lack of drama.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of didn't care about knowing who the pick was going to be. It became like, hey, what's this next woman's going to be wearing? Because, like, the outfits were... I mean, these women, to me, look larger than life. Like, I'm a big WWE fan. I felt like I was watching, like, WWE women who are supposed to be larger than life characters. And I think the WNBA really delivered, not only with the stars that we do know, but some of the stars that we didn't know also were, like, really decked out. To me, like, basketball meets like New York Fashion Week, the NBA draft is about fashion, but not like this. This was different.
The other part of this is I think that you're seeing an opportunity for designers now. I mean, Angel Reese, she announced she's going to the WNBA in Vogue magazine. So you're going to have designers who are lining up to dress these women just like they do with the men to try to give them cool style. And, you know, everyone is stylists or whatever, and they'll pick it out for them. And that made it cool, too. It's cool now for fashion people to be involved in the WNBA. And you know what was interesting? I don't know if you guys picked up on this either, which is there were two different times this happened in the 12 interviews of women who were drafted. And they both said, I'm hoping to give my family a better life. You know? Did you guys hear this? Did you pick up on this? I'm hoping to give my family a better life. And what's interesting about that is that's amazing that these women can deliver on that or feel like they can. Because you're not walking into $20 million here. This is not the men's game. You're walking into $75,000 or $100,000.
Right.
That's not life-changing money for generations. I'm not taught. This isn't, you know, when LeBron James, you know, comes into the league and immediately become a gajillionaire overnight. And so I thought that was very cool that they realized that this thing is continuing to grow. Mm. There's other marketing opportunities. and other ways that they really can give their family a better life. It's not just going to be their WNBA salary.
Oh, God. Can what? Give me the NFL draft and tell me who the Vikings are to take. So I have to watch the draft for the fashion and so I can have the feel-good stories with the, with the piano music background. Give me a draft. Like, you guys are, I understand you're hyping this draft up, but I'm not watching next year if this is what you're selling me.
Perloff, the NFL draft goes
is awesome.
Of course. It goes so over the top with the stories.
Yeah, I know, but there's
the sob story after sob story after this person.
We all make fun of it, but the reason that anyone is watching the NFL draft is because we want to see who the team is taking.
Perloff, let's be real. Let's be 100. Cameron Brink's dress is bringing people back to the draft next year. Angel Reese's dress is bringing people to the draft next year.
Yeah, yeah. Let's be real. Do you really think this draft is going to become a thing once these stars are not in it?
Well, again, this is the question about what impact does Caitlin and maybe this whole draft class have on the sport? What's the staying power?
I think when we talk about women's sports, if we're being real, I do not mean to objectify at all, but like the aspect, the sex factor that comes with that, and the women looked fantastic last night.
Yeah,
I think that adds something to last night and to the draft that you just do not have with an NFL and NBA draft. Like, it's a totally different thing. Like, Cameron Brink is trending last night because of this dress she's wearing, and it's a lot of people being like, hey, saying. So, like, if we're talking about, like, what's going to bring people next year, I think a lot of people who watched the draft for the first time are like, wow, these women look fantastic. Like, again, it was like watching a fashion show, and people were into that.
I understand what you're saying, but I do think it's a growing gap between the NFL draft and every other draft. Like, other leagues see the NFL and trying to build this up, but there's nobody, like, let's be honest, the NBA draft is a shadow of what it used to be because of the structure of the sport.
You're right, but let's not pretend, like, because it's a TV product, let's not pretend, like, the NFL draft doesn't try to sell us on the stories.
Right, but let's not pretend.
Because they do the same thing.
I understand, but you could feel the energy in that building. It was actually pretty close to my house. Was nothing like an NFL draft because there was definitely a coronation feel last night. There was a little bit of something lacking. Honestly, the setup of the draft, they were at tables. For the NFL draft is, they take it out to Nashville with 200,000 people. It's a much different thing. I think the NFL has mastered it. And part of the reason is because there's a sports. You want to see what your teams are going to do.
More than double the amount of teams in the NFL.
I think the NFL has blown away the NBA draft. I mean,
that's
just
true.
Like to smithereens too. So it's not just a WNBA. I'm just saying, yes, the WNBA draft was cool, but let's not mistake this as it's going to become an event like the NFL draft.
I don't think anyone's saying that. I think you're saying that. I don't think anyone is. I think we just have an appreciation for the TV product that it was last night. It did deliver because the fashion was there. They did try to play up the storylines. There wasn't a lot of, maybe surprises, although you did have the draft and stash Europeans. You had some women who had to wait around for the second round, a little green room type of situation, even though they were at tables. You had it all, and they moved it fast, and I think that was a really big part of it. The picks were coming in really quickly, and that it wrapped up in an hour.
I understand. I just think that it's important to keep, like, what ultimately is going to grow the league is the sports competition, not these other things. So you got to, I think, and Caitlin has done a great job. Caitlin would not have mattered at all if she didn't get to the title game 2 years in a row and become the all-time leading scorer. Like,
of course. I'm curious. This is the ancillary stuff that comes around with building.
Yeah.
Things.
Yeah. And I understand. I mean, listen, if they're selling sex appeal, great. I probably will tune in. I'm not going to lie. And it was really cool.
A man with two eyes.
But I did. There was just something missing last night. I just like felt like, oh, man, this is a little more boring. So I flipped over to once Angel Reese went, then I immediately flipped over to ESPN2 because they were doing a Mel Kiper, Adam Schefter mock draft. And I'm like, oh, I got to watch that.
Well, now that's your catnip. Coming up, we will have Perloff's NFL draft rumor of the day. I know you're excited about that. Also, some controversy. On the men's basketball side, we do all that next. It's Maggie and Perloff. Don't move.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff Show. Is this the Bosom Buddies theme right there?
That's the Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Hey, what happened the other night? They were showing some Billy Joel concert, and right when he was hitting like the big piano man part, they cut away.
Yeah, I keep hearing about this, by the way. People are painting this
Pete,
as the
I'm
worst
mistake. Pete, I'm surprised you're like, sorry.
People are painting this like the worst mistake CBS has ever made. Like they cut off the Super Bowl or something. What happened?
It's not like I haven't heard Piano Man before.
Yeah, right. None of us know how that song ends.
What happens here?
I saw that he released his gigantic statement about what happened, and people were big mad.
Wait, Billy Joel had to
release? Billy Joel released a statement. I think CBS released a statement.
Oh, gosh.
It was a local cutaway. It happens. All right, move on.
Oh, Pete, I thought you'd be incensed.
I love
too.
Billy Joel, but I mean, it's not like he's debuting with something so new that we have not seen it before, that the cutaway destroyed that.
Yeah, I mean, if he was doing something new, we definitely wouldn't be watching. But Piano Man will stick around for.
I don't know if we'd be watching some of his new stuff.
That's what I'm saying. That's the time to go to the bar and get a drink. When he's playing Piano Man, that's when you got to be up front.
Maybe, the time maybe, to get a bottle of red and a bottle of white.
And maybe bang yourself over the head with both of them. Oh, well, that was fun.
What was weird about it was like that stupid tracker show that's new, they played that in its entirety post-golf, which then went past the start time of the Billy Joel thing.
Mm.
But then didn't let Billy Joel play out. So at 11 o'clock, the news started, and they were like, peace, we got to go. I don't know why they feel that they need to go back on schedule.
Why do you guys take a shot at Justin Hartley and Tracker? What's that about?
I'm just amazed.
There's no way that show's good.
What are you talking about? It was on after the show. Justin Hartley's awesome.
It's amazing to me that CBS has the number one everything. The number one comedy, the number one drama, the number one dramedy, the number one NCI. All these number one shows, I don't know anyone that watches them.
You guys are such elitists. Oh, my God. This is ridiculous.
You watch Blue Bloods? Get out of here.
No.
Okay.
There you go. I don't get up there and say that the shows that everyone watches are bad.
No, but you watch CSI Myanmar? No shot.
I would.
You could.
I knew where and when they were on.
I've watched CSI Wakanda.
Yeah, maybe they should do that.
Yeah, Marvel, a little Marvel connection, maybe.
Then
okay,
they're going to lose me.
That being said, we've all watched 1,000 episodes of Law & Order, right?
That's NBC.
Mm-hmm. But my point is, isn't CSI the same darn thing, except a different version of it? So why wouldn't I watch CSI if I watch Law & Order?
I don't know. People like what they like.
It's ripped from the headlines, just like Law & Order. obviously, a lot of people like CSI.
I'm not saying they don't. I just think I do think it's a little funny. Not the tracker, it's just we're finding a million ways just to do the same show. And that's not an indictment on CBS. That's an indictment on all of television.
Law and Order is Dr. Pepper.
Have you guys ever seen Tracker? Tracker's not like any other show. So he's this weird, like, guy who pays people. No. You pay him to find people.
Oh, I thought it was a wildfire show. You're telling me wildfires aren't getting involved?
You just said he fights wildfires. That has nothing to do with the show.
Watch that show.
In Maggie's defense, the commercial that ran forever during the playoffs is him like in the woods. So I could see why you might have thought it was a wildfire.
No, there's a big show where people fight fires. There is a huge show.
I'm sorry, I got my wires crossed a little bit.
What is that show called?
The Chicago Fire
911?
No. There's a forest fire show that the commercials run all the time.
Whatever they're showing me.
Fire Country on CBS.
Thank you. Whatever they're showing me during football is what I know.
Right. But that 911 show, I think, EJ, that you just mentioned, had an episode where a cruise ship was sinking. And they called 911, which I feel like is a bad strategy.
But that's got the guy
that's
from...
That's not who you call
Coast Guard, maybe.
When the Titanic is sinking.
That felt like a Paw Patrol move, where there was time for the crew to get there despite the emergency. But that's got the guy... That show has the guy from 6 Feet Under. I like the cast of that one. Never seen
it. Yes. Peter Krause.
I love how you're admonishing Bogish for pointing out they have these number one shows nobody watches, but you don't watch them.
Right.
Yeah,
so you're shaking your finger
but
at
I
Bogish,
do, I think
but
a lot
you
of people,
don't watch them.
A lot of people do like those
shows. Yeah, that's
shows.
Fine.
Oh, yeah, but like no one's walking around.
Why is our taste any better? Just because we watch... what's that stupid show on HBO that everyone was? White Lotus?
But that's my point. I'm not saying good or bad. I'm saying that Young Sheldon is the number one comedy, but no one's ever walking around in my world talking about Young Sheldon from the night before, but I walk into White Lotus conversations.
The water cooler.
The Last of Us. Like all of these other shows have all these conversations. There's never an NCIS Sydney
in your
conversation.
World.
But that's my point. That's what I said.
Everybody's
all
world.
All these shows are number one, and I don't know anyone that watches them.
You realize, right, but when you say that, it makes it sound like you're a little bit better than them.
That was not my intention. It was just that the people that watch them do not live in or near me.
Here's a question. How many water cooler conversations are happening today about Cameron Brink's dress from last night? Because I bet a couple.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
happening. When she bent over to hug her mom, I think, like, you almost saw everything. I don't understand how you ladies do that with, like, tape and slits and low cut. Like, it's just constant danger.
The fact that you even knew about the tape. congrats to you, Bo. Yeah. that's evolved.
That seemed, thank God I just tie a tie and put a belt on and away we go.
You guys don't even know the half of it.
You need to get Perloff some tape next time he wants to be
Scottish
Roddy Piper.
Well, Perloff wore for both the WrestleMania and also Halloween were 20 times as revealing as the Cameron Brink was wearing last night. Bogus headlines, you got them.
And speaking of that WNBA draft, as you've been discussing, it should have started with a second pick since we all knew the Fever were taking Caitlin Clark last night. Cameron Brink was that second pick to the Sparks. They came back at number four and got Tennessee's Rekia Jackson. The Chicago Sky also had two early picks, taking Camilla Cardoso third, and then Angel Reese seventh. Hours before the NBA's play-in tourney begins, we're talking about U.S. men's basketball. GM Grant Hill has apparently locked in 11 of his 12 players for the summer games in Paris. That list includes LeBron, Curry, KD, Tatum, Anthony Edwards, the last spot being held open for training camp and an exhibition game this summer. Unconfirmed reports that Wemby is trying to switch nationalities to beat out Chet Holmgren for that honor, much like Rookie of the Year.
Wait, you're kidding, right?
Yes.
Oh, because I would say if Joel Embiid can be on the American team, why not Wemby?
There was a moment last night where I almost had to not just mute my text thread between Perloff and EJ, I considered just throwing my phone out the window. You guys arguing about who should get the last spot on the Olympic team was robust.
Well, it wasn't the last spot. This person should have been on the team already.
I'm sorry. The snub to Jalen Brunson is something that EJ is taking extremely personally.
No, basketball fans are taking it. It's not EJ or Knicks fans. People who have eyes. Yeah. People who have eyes who watch basketball are upset about this. Yeah.
Sure.
Anyone with eyes who watches basketball, they're waking up this morning. They're mad about Jalen Brunson.
Why do you want him to play in the Olympics?
It's not about that.
And risk injury.
It's not. It's the principle of the matter. Okay. Why would the Lakers be okay with LeBron playing in the Olympics and stuff? They all have the same calculus. The idea that the best American basketball player is not playing for the national team is ridiculous.
Okay.
Is he the best player?
He's been the best player in the NBA this season for Americans.
Is he going to win the MVP? Oh, for
America. The American MVP.
Yeah, if we rank the guys, the only guy that has a chance to be ahead of him in ranking in terms of MVP is probably Jason Tatum. And I don't think he's going to finish ahead of him now. I think Brunson's passed him.
He gets that final spot.
I just think that's a ridiculous snub that he's the 12th man and he may be the highest ranking American on the MVP ladder. That doesn't make any sense to me.
But honest question, EJ, if you ask 10 GMs to pick Tatum or Brunson to start a team, all of them are picking Tatum, right?
I don't agree with that. I don't agree that all 10 are taking Jalen, Jason, Tatum.
Okay.
Oof. How many are taking Tatum then?
You see this list, and besides Haliburton and Anthony Edwards, it's basically just a lifetime achievement award, right?
Yeah. I mean, which is the problem. Like these guys, like somebody, like Steph being on that, he's never won a gold medal. I'm okay with that.
But he's never played in the Olympics,
right?
Which I didn't realize.
That's great, and I love Steph, so I'm glad he's getting the shot to play in the Olympics. But like a lot of these guys, like Kevin Durant has the all-time scoring list. LeBron has like 7 gold medals. Like enough.
So that's more just about the makeup of the team. You think so? The old heads should get out.
Enough. Enough. Like let some other guys come in and let them get their time. Like. It wasn't like, you know, Shaq was saying, hey, I'm nudging these guys out of here so I can play in the Olympics. Like, they weren't doing that.
Well, here's my question. Forget all the Jalen Brunson controversy. Is this team going to win a gold medal? Because they are anciently old and injury prone. Their two stars that aren't 40 are Joel Embiid and Anthony Davis. You think those guys are going to go through a whole... Anthony Davis? What are we doing here? Is he going to be healthy? Well, is Joel going to be healthy? No way.
Here's the thing. You're probably looking at maybe early playoff exits for a lot of these older guys. So, I mean, nobody's really picking the Suns to do a ton. They're going to the Western Conference Finals. The Lakers, if they play the Nuggets, are going to be up against it. Steph Curry and the Warriors could be going home tonight. So some of these older guys are going to get plenty of rest, and the game is shorter. It's not 60 minutes.
Well, here's the other thing, too. All these guys need the ball in their hand. Like, Jalen Brunson is a ball-dominant player, and I get LeBron is like, well, don't give me a Jalen Brunson. Give me somebody who compliments me. So there is – I think that's a slightly vulnerable team.
Yeah, that'd be a big problem with all of them standing on a three-point line. Where's my shot?
They're not
going
to be able to share the ball. I don't know who's going to. I mean, you got Kevin Durant's got to get his shots. It's an interesting team. I wonder if they lose.
I think the world is so good. These other teams, Serbia is going to be really good. Canada is going to be really good. like this, I agree with Perloff that this is not a gimme for Team USA, even though I think this team is awesome. Like, this is an all-star team. This is a great team, even though they're missing a one key guy, in my opinion.
But when push comes to shove, they're really going to beat, is Germany going to beat them? Spain is not really the factor that it used to be.
Canada and Serbia are major problems.
Canada's going to be a problem no matter who's out there.
How about if France with Wendy?
France is going to also, they have a glass jaw when it comes to these international tournaments. I'm not trusting France to do anything. I think that's why Joel Embiid wanted nothing to do with those guys.
Sorry, I said 60 minutes. I meant 48. Bogus, any more headlines?
As for that play in the Lakers and Pelicans, get things rolling in New Orleans at 7:30 Eastern. Willie Green hoping his team.
Hard for 48 minutes for us. Playing hard, playing together, playing our style for 48 minutes. When we do that, we give ourselves an opportunity to win the game.
Anthony Davis plans to play tonight after leaving Sunday's finale in New Orleans with back spasms. Your nightcap is Kings, Warriors, the East on the floor tomorrow with Sixers, Heat, and Bulls, Hawks. Lastly, from the NBA, the Nets reportedly focusing on Kings assistant Jordy Fernandez as their next head coach. He was already well-regarded in league circles. Then he led Canada to the bronze medal at last summer's FIBA World Cup. Mike Trout doesn't seem to miss Shohei Ohtani in the Angels lineup.
There's a long fly ball. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Mike Trout, a two-run homer. He blasts one to give the Angels a 2-1 lead.
That's Wayne Randazzo on Angels TV. You might have heard, it is high, it is far, it is gone. That was a nod to retiring Yankee radio voice John Sterling. Trout's two-run homer started a five-run eighth, which got the Halos a 7-3 win in Tampa Bay. He's got seven long balls, 10 RBI in 16 games this season.
They're probably they're number one in the standings, right? With all that Mike Trout production, I'm sure.
They're actually second in the vaunted AL West.
They're
at the
500. They're 8-8. This is this is home runs hitting in the forest with no one hearing. Get out of here.
I don't like your dismissal of Mike Trout.
Bring Mike Trout home to Philadelphia, people. He's wasting away with the Angels. What is he doing?
There was an agenda behind this. I'm like, isn't he a South Jersey?
There's never been a greater player with less playoff hopes in the history of sports than Mike Trout. We can all agree on that, right?
Yeah, but we don't want to see him in Philly.
Well, Zion also hasn't played a playoff game, but Mike Trout's obviously done way, way more. Who do you think, I know Wayne Randazzo would not do this. That was definitely a tribute to John Sterling. But do you think that now that John Sterling has said he's retiring, effective immediately, will other baseball announcers try to incorporate some of the things that he's done and pass it off, not as their own, but try to get a little of the Sterling magic? You can't do as high as far it's gone.
Probably, because it's like wrestling. When someone says, hey, can I borrow your finishing move or whatever? Yeah, some will, and they're going to get crushed for it.
Right, because everyone knows it's coming from Sterling.
Right.
Sterling was so unique.
I think you've got the rest of this week. If you wanted to make some crazy home run call for one of the guys on your team, you can do that. But you can't, steal John's bit.
I know, Mike Breen will tell you that he basically stole Bang.
Yes.
Definitely, yeah.
So,
but not from
someone in New York, I don't think.
Right.
But still, I mean, now people will think Mike Breen invented Bang. And, of course, the vaunted double Bang.
Well, they're going to have the next person that starts doing stuff John did will have an advantage that if they wait a while, it'll be a whole different generation of
baseball fans.
But no one's stealing Vin Scully's act, I don't even think it's there. How many one-man booths are there?
Yeah. Right,
zero.
And also, Mike Breen didn't purposely go out there and say, hey, I am stealing Ben.
No, he just borrowed.
Right. He killed a guy.
He didn't do that. CSI Mike Breen.
How long has Sterling been the voice of the Yankees?
Since 1989.
Yep.
You don't think people would have stolen his stuff by now?
You can't do it while he's active, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure. No, why could you? Not everybody follows the Yankees on radio. No, I don't think you can steal those old time. No one's stealing Hark Harrelson's bit or Euchre's bit, right? Like, you can't do that anymore.
Can you imagine someone's going to put it on the board?
No.
I mean, the whole bit, though, of Sterling, there's just no way. These old school guys, you don't do that anymore. Is there anybody like any of these guys? Like a young guy, Bogus?
I'm trying to think of the majors who does. There's no crazy guys. It's not really in vogue right now in. The NBA has got some good guys.
I was going to say that. NBA has guys that would definitely go out there.
Yeah, the Clippers radio dude has huge
The Hornets
calls.
TV guys, crazy.
Right, and the guy, is it...
Crazy in a good way, by the way.
And the Nuggets guy is good, Jason Kuzmiski, and he gets a little carried away. The guy in Minnesota has a couple of, taglines, so to speak, for things.
Actually,
and
sorry, bring it a full circle. The guy who does Angels radio has a Mike Trout call. Doesn't he call it?
Yeah. I actually have it in the system. I was going to play it until I heard Wayne do the Sterling
tribute.
Ode. Yeah. That's, it's Trout a here.
It's Trout a here.
Yeah.
It's a dad joke and a home run call all at the same time. Perloff approved.
I'll be a professional. Pete's Islanders clinched their playoff spot by winning their finale last night, 4-1 at the Devils. They are they're in third place in the Metro Division, which means they'll face second place Carolina in the first round of the postseason.
Let's go.
Bogus.
Let's go, Canes.
Thank you so much. Coming up, the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC. Got that for you. And we see you guys on the phones. We'll get to you in a moment. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay. Perloff, one of the big questions of the offseason for the NFL was about T. Higgins and the fact that the Bengals put him on the franchise tag. Mm-hmm. And he was speaking yesterday while he expects to be back in Cincinnati, whether he has a new contract or not.
We'll see. I do anticipate it. You know, since he's grown up, you know, I love for Cincy that I didn't think I would, but, you know, man, looking forward to it.
Okay, so he's not going to hold out, it doesn't look like. It doesn't look like he's going to be traded at all. And this is really good news for Cincinnati. The question is, are they the biggest threat to the Chiefs and the Chiefs' dominance? What do you say?
So they're definitely in the mix. But to me, I'm still going back to this Baltimore Ravens team. Although Lamar Jackson showed up the other day and lost 30 pounds or something, it was bizarre. But why are we talking about the Ravens were at the doorstep? Why are we going 2 years back to where the Bengals were the team? I feel like the Ravens are still the threat in the AFC.
Okay, so here's why I think the Bengals are the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC, because it was just because Joe Burrow got injured last year. He has a 5-2 playoff record to Lamar Jackson's 2-4.
Right.
And it's not like Lamar's been playing with some crap defense. For the most part, he's had the number one or a top five defense this entire time, but it's been about health. When Joe Burrow is healthy, they're 22-10, went to one Super Bowl, went to another AFC championship game. Not only that, they kept their defensive coordinator in Lou Anarumo, who's got the secret sauce on how to actually defend Patrick Mahomes. So the fact that they have the continuity there, I know that the Chiefs also obviously kept their defensive coordinator and Steve Spagnuolo, but I think we just forgot about Cincy. We put them on the back burner just because Burrow got injured last
year. Yeah. My counterargument, the Ravens, that was a bit of a fluky loss to the Chiefs in the sense that Zay Flowers fumbled at the goal line when they were
coming.
I mean, honestly, there was two
plays. Played terribly.
They were definitely, I mean, listen, if Zay Flowers doesn't do that, that's a game. It was seven. They held Patrick Mahomes to 17 points. I know the Chiefs held off. Like the Ravens definitely walked away from that game saying, I can't believe we didn't win that.
Oh, and, I think they got outclassed in the game. I mean, the Chiefs didn't score in the second half, and they still were able to win.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. And also, too, like Lamar, when you say played terribly, yeah, he threw one really bad pick.
Oh, he was so out of his game.
Really? He threw for like 300 yards, and honestly, like they owned the second half. They dominated in yardage in the second half.
I know,
they
but just those, blew it was the empty. Game. I thought Lamar was running around. He was holding on to the ball, running around. I thought he took some bad sacks. I mean, he was not the Lamar MVP that we had been watching through the season.
Yeah, but there was just a couple plays where the Ravens lost it at the end because they were definitely the better team in the second half. They were sort of dominating them. I know Kansas City sort of pulled back and was just holding on to their lead. But the Ravens, I think, walked out of that Baltimore game and say, what just happened? How did we lose that game?
Well, and they had home field advantage as the number one seed, and you allowed Kansas City to go in there and beat you. We're asking about the biggest threat to the Chiefs. I think it's the Bengals. Perloff says it's the Ravens. There's nothing about the Burrow 5-2 playoff record and Lamar's 2-4 playoff record that would indicate sort of who is better in these big moments to you. I think Burrow's maybe one of the best quarterbacks we have in the league in big moments.
Yeah, but there's something about, and like, listen, the Bengals just for some reason have trouble putting it all together. I feel
it's
like they're
Burrow's
kind of,
health.
I just, Burrow's health, and then there's just some issues that always, they seem like, much like the Ravens, they get injured. You know, that's the other thing too. Somehow the Chiefs just do not seem injury prone in the way the Ravens and the Bengals and a lot of these other, and the Chargers. I just think that the Bengals have, you know, they have a thin line here. Like, it's not like they're so dominant that they can just assume they're going to be there where the Chiefs are there. I think the Ravens are going to be on a revenge tour this year, and they're going to come out like a house on fire. Because also, too, they have all these young defenders who just fire right now.
No, I know, but the thing about the Ravens is we've seen house on fire. They were killing teams last year in the regular season. They took care of San Francisco, and they took care of every good team they played. Yeah. They beat them handily, and then it got to the playoffs, and they faced the Kansas City Chiefs, and they turned into a puddle. And I think for Cincinnati, let's not forget, they're in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago in Arrowhead, and if it's not for a roughing the passer out-of-bounds push on Mahomes that gave them an extra 15 yards, maybe that game is different.
Yeah.
And maybe Cincinnati is going to two Super Bowls in a row.
Here's the thing. Cincinnati's got to get there. They got to get there. It's not a given that it's going to be an AFC Championship game with Kansas. I will give you Joe Burrow is scarier to the Chiefs maybe, but I think the Ravens are really going to be hell-bent on getting the number one seed again and being there at the end. And also, I think the Chiefs are way more vulnerable. I'm not sure the Chiefs get there. I mean, no team's ever three-peated, so there's a long way to go. I think it's going to be a much different playoffs. You're kind of assuming that it plays out like it did 2 years ago. I just think there's a lot more going on in this AFC picture.
Well, sure. I mean, it's stacked with quarterbacks. I'll give you that. But if you're asking me who has consistently played the Chiefs tough, the only person really is the Bengals. I think that's the team that really instills fear. The Bills have tried, but ultimately cannot beat them in the postseason. And the Bengals at least have shown they can win in Arrowhead. 855-212-4227. Who's the biggest threat to the Chiefs? Coming up, we got Perloff's NFL draft rumor of the day. Stick around for that. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff, Infinity Sports Network.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.